Well, good morning, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you what happened to this family, the Pohans. That was a family of missionaries. They were in Borneo, and Borneo is the largest island in Asia. Okay? They had a boy and a girl, and the boy's name was Francis, and the girl's name was Ellen. So, anyway, and what happened is, it was time for Francis to practice his organ. You know, he used to play the organ, and he was always practicing, and he had a set time every day for practicing. So, anyway, he goes to the piano, to the organ, and he starts. And, you know, he looks at the hymn, and then he starts playing the hymn, and he cannot play it right. So then he says, well, let me do one hand first. And he goes, plump, 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 plump. And then he goes, plink, 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 plink with the other one. And then he puts it together, and he just cannot do it right. And he's just plinking and plunking everywhere. So he gets all frustrated. And he leaves the organ and he goes outside. So outside was his sister Ellen. And she was in there, you know, enjoying herself. And then she looks up and she says, hey, isn't this your practice time? You're supposed to be practicing your organ. So he says, well, I just can't seem to do anything. You know, my hands are like rocks or like wet rags or something. So, I'm all frustrated. So, I'm going to look for this truck that I lost yesterday. So, there is he's looking on the high grass, you know, and looking for his truck, his little truck, his toy. And then he sees, hey, there are some soldiers coming up. See? It was wartime in that, in Borneo, that island. So there was some soldiers coming up. So then they all go inside. And they all go inside, and the soldiers ask, where are your mom and dad? So the girl goes in and asks, you know, Ellen. And she goes, and mom, dad, there are some soldiers here. So then they come all, and they are all in the living room, and they said, yes, what can we do for you? And he says, we need some type of instrument. Do you have a piano or an organ? And then they said, yes, we do. He said, well, it's in a good order, you know. Is the piano okay? He said, no, it's an organ. Is it playing okay? He said, yes, usually plays really well. So then they go in here and start blinking and plunking the organ. And you know what happened? It didn't make a sound. So it didn't make a sound. So then, you know, the soldier starts, it has two pedals, you know, the organ. It has two pedals, and you were supposed to push those pedals, and that gives it air for the organ to start playing. And, you know, he pushed them and pushed them and everything, and there was not a sound. So then the leader of the soldiers, he says, wait a minute. You try the same thing. That was the other soldier. So he goes and does the same thing and everything, and he doesn't play. Not a sound, not even a sound. Nothing. So anyway, they are all frustrated and everything. You said it was working, the leader of the soldier says. And the father of the family, you know, he says, well, he has been playing all this time. So meantime, while they are doing all of that, you know, they're still pushing and looking at they open the organ and everything. They are doing all of that. The little sister, Ellen, she starts thinking, when they first wanted an organ. They didn't have one. So then, you know, they wanted one, but it was always too expensive. So the father says, let's pray about it. So the mother, the father, and the sister, and the brother, they all prayed for the organ. They were always praying for that. And then one day, guess what happened? A man had to leave that island. And he had to leave so fast that he had no time to really fiddle with anything. So then he said, you know, he sold the organ. And it was very, very, very inexpensive. So then the father said, oh, we need that organ. And it's so cheap. You know what cheap is? Inexpensive. It's so inexpensive that we better get it. So they were able to get it. And then the father says, have all you been praying? And then the sister says, yes, I have been. And then the brother says, yes, I've been. So then the mother says, this is an answer to prayer. So they got the organ. And they were so happily playing the organ. So then she stops thinking, you know, and the leader of the soldier says, well, is there one in the church? You know, is there an organ in the church? He said, no, says the father, because some of you people came and took it. So we don't have any organ. It's just this one. And so then they got so frustrated. Says, this is a piece of junk. It's not good. So they leave all angry and everything. And the organ stays there at their house, you know. So then, you know, the little boy goes and blinks and plonks in there, not a sound. So then they all go outside and everything again. What he started looking for his truck that he was trying to find. And the little girl, you know, started reading her a book and everything, and everybody went up to their doings. So then the little boy said after a while, see, the soldiers by then have really disappeared. They were no longer there. So then the little boy says, I think I can get Daddy's tools, and I can go and take it apart and see what is wrong with that organ. So he goes inside, and he puts his tools down, and the father comes and says, what are you doing? And say, I'm going to fix it. I said, okay, I'm going to help you. And if we cannot fix it, maybe somebody can help us do it. So then they go and start trying to fix it, and then guess what? The organ plays. And then he goes with his little feet, you know, over there, you know, the pedals, and then he starts playing a piece on the piano, the one that he couldn't play earlier that morning. And and he started playing it so nicely. So there was no problem. And everybody just looked at each other, you know, the whole family. And then the father says, it must have been God that stroked the organ silent. He sent one of his angels to go and mess it up. And his angels timed everything so nicely that, you know, because if you would have been playing, those soldiers, when they were coming up, they would have heard it. And then afterwards, when you started seeing what was wrong with it, and they were still and hearing pace over there, you know, they would have heard the organ. So God's angels just timed everything so nicely, you know. So then the father said, God's angels always manage everything perfectly. And then the family said, let's pray, let's kneel and pray. And then, but as they knelt down and prayed, they remember this verse. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he goes with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6. So let's all bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for always blessing us and protecting us from the dangers of life. Open our eyes to see that we always need to keep our trust in you because you are always caring for us. Amen.
Good morning. It's time for our congregational prayer this morning. In front of you, there is a blue card in the pew pocket there. If you'd like to fill something out and bring it forward, or if not, just come forward and we will meet together and have prayer together as a congregation. Ask for the Lord's blessing on us today. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the privilege we have to meet here. We thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would be among us. We pray that you would give us the blessing for which we have come today. We thank you for the privilege to meet in freedom, and we pray for your blessing on us and those around the world who are meeting today. We pray in a special way for each request that has been brought forward and those on our hearts that may be unspoken. And we lift up before you the needs and the requests and the praises, that your will be done according to all that is best. We lift up specifically for you this morning the radio station here and the progress and your blessing on it, that it will become a beacon of hope and truth to those around us. I lift up Deb Coe and Janet Ware, who have medical issues today coming up. And also for healing, I pray for Lori and for James. We're so glad that James is back with us today. And Vicki. We also pray for Sherilyn and for Clarence Trent and many others who have slipped my mind this morning. I just pray for those also who are searching for you, those who may be discouraged. Pray for those who are traveling, and that you will be with each and every one and supply the needs that we have. And we praise you for knowing us so well. And we thank you for hearing and answering today, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our offering today is for Christian Record Services. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's in Galatians 6:9. Did you know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a ministry to people who are blind or visually impaired? Christian Record Services for the Blind improves the quality of life for more than 20,000 children, teens, and adults with visual impairments in 71 different countries of the world. Christian Record Braille helps the blind see Jesus by providing free programs and services such as Christian magazines and books in audio, Braille, and large print formats. They provide adult Sabbath school Bible study guides in audio and Braille. They provide primary Bible study guides in Braille. They provide college scholarships, Bible study courses in audio, Braille, and large print, and summer and winter camps as well. There are Spanish materials in audio and large print. There are Full Vision Books, which is a multi-format series for children and families in audio, Braille, and print. Open your eyes to the possibilities of partnering with Christian Service Record or Christian Record Braille. Helen Keller once wrote, "Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. And together we can do a lot for Christian Record Braille and for the blind services in throughout the world." The deacons will receive your offerings now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we could help with this offering today. We pray that you'd bless these funds, and we'd like to say a prayer for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are visually impaired or blind. We pray that they will know Jesus too. And we thank you for watching over each one of us this week, and we're thankful for the funds that we have to share with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
that's a little easier. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 29 to 32. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him."
Hear me now? Can you hear me now? I guess that reminds you of a commercial. All right. Well, today, as I mentioned to most of you, some of you were not here, during our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I'm going through the book of Acts. And so to this morning's message is the one you missed. I didn't speak on what I was going to speak on last Wednesday night, but I felt this is a message that all the messages we present Wednesday night, I think would be a blessing to us. But we find ourselves in the book of Acts. And as you can see on the screen, this is about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Catch the wind." And I would like to encourage you to prayerfully consider what you can draw from this that can help you in your own personal life. And how we as a church can be blessed by taking God at His word and by learning from those who have gone before us. Dear Father, speak through me, I pray. May your word take hold of our hearts, that each one here may leave this place with your word firmly grounded in their hearts, that we may be followers of Jesus, going wherever He leads, and that we may receive your Spirit, whom you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. You probably noticed that we have had our share of strong winds this past week, and another tornado season has begun. Already, a monster tornado in Illinois has killed two people and destroyed a small town. And we are pretty early in the year. I don't know if you heard about the storm damage in Swan Quarter, North Carolina, on September 17, 1876. I guess you didn't hear about it, or did anyone hear about it? Okay. It was a tremendous storm. Let me tell you about it. A monster storm. And here's what happened. The people of the town wanted to build a church, and they found a beautiful piece of land. And it was located on a hill, just perfect for a church. And so they approached the owner and said, "Would you mind selling us this land so that we can build a church on it?" And the owner answered, "No, we have other plans for this land. We have lucrative plans for this land." And so the church members decided to build a church as close as they could to that property. But it was not in the ideal place that they had prayed about. 2 years later, in September 17, 1876, a tremendous storm came up with incredibly strong winds, and the winds picked the whole church building up and moved it 300 feet and set it down exactly in the center of this nice, beautiful land that the church had wanted, with a front entrance facing the street. On the exact spot that the worshippers had prayed for. And the owner said, "Well, your church is already there, so we'll sell it to you." Now, the power of the wind moved the whole church 300 feet. And today it's called the Church of Providence. The wind, which is what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3, the wind wants to move our church. Isn't that right? And there is power in the wind. There is power in the wind. In Acts chapter 5, the early church had caught the wind. And it says in verse 12, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Solomon's porch. That's where they met. And verse 14 continues on, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." And so God was growing a church. The New Testament was a growing church. And growing churches preach the Word of God. I guess I overstepped that. All right, there we go. Growing churches are loving, not legalistic. Growing churches have high standards. Growing churches lift up Jesus. Growing churches feed the people. And they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as it did out there on Solomon's porch. And you have a picture of Solomon's porch, what it looked like back in those days. You might be how strange it is to meet on a porch. But this porch was a little different from the average porch. It was composed of 27 beautiful, ornate columns in double rows. And the ceiling of the porch was made of cedar. And the porch overlooked this beautiful Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem. And there, near the beautiful temple of Jerusalem, you can see the temple in the middle there, or to the right and the top. That's where God's early church met. Not only was it a growing church, but the early church had caught the wind. And there were lots of miracles and signs and wonders everywhere. In verses 15 and 16, it says, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." I think I got my slides out of order here. There we go. "Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Now, what does this sound like to you? This sounds like an instant replay of the Gospels when Jesus was on the earth. The same thing that Jesus did, the apostles were doing. And that's what had been promised. Why so many miracles? Well, God was certifying that His blessing was now upon the Christian church. He wanted the nation of Israel to know now the blessings were in the Christian church. He wanted Jerusalem to know. He wanted the leaders to know now the blessing is on the Christian church. What about Peter's shadow that was mentioned in this text? It sort of sounds like something like touching the hem of Jesus' garment, doesn't it? Remember the lady who touched the hem of Jesus' robe? Did Jesus' robe heal her? Did Peter's shadow heal anybody? No, everybody that has ever been healed has been healed by faith in Jesus Christ. So hems cannot heal. Shadows cannot heal. The healings described in the book of Acts stand in sharp contrast to the fake TV healers of today, full of showmanship and who knows what else. They will call people from the audience and they will speak in a loud voice in order to supposedly heal them, and they will knock them on the head And the people forget all of their aches and pains. But in the Bible, you find somebody reaching out and touching the robe of Jesus. Somebody being healed by the voice of Jesus. Somebody being healed by the touch of Jesus or by the apostles. Somebody being healed when they touch the shadow or when they enter into the shadow of Peter, who is just passing by. It's a gentle thing. A gentle touch on an inflicted body. I will tell you that if somebody is sick, we should allow our shadow to fall upon them. We should come near them. We should be near them. Let your presence be near them. Let your love touch them. Let your prayers comfort them. Let your touch warm them. Let your faith give them hope. Amen? When you catch the wind, you may experience resistance. And in Acts 5:18, it says, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So they ended up in the local jail. All 12 apostles, it appears, ended up in the public jail. Because the apostles disobeyed the law that said there should be no witnessing in Jerusalem about Christ. We don't believe in him, and certainly we don't want you to witness about him on the temple grounds of all places. That this is a non-witnessing area. You better stay away. Do not witness about this Jesus on the temple grounds. And so the leaders didn't want them to go out there giving Bible studies. So what do you do then? Do you close shop and wait for the laws to change? What do we do in our day when things don't go our way? Do we wait for a better opportunity or do we obey the command of God? If we are in charge, we'll just succumb to the circumstances. But when the Holy Spirit is in charge, then absolutely not. The wind, the Holy Spirit takes us in places that we would otherwise not go. Because when you catch the wind, you're not bound by the shackles of evil. In Acts 5:19, it says, by that night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. And so jail bars cannot contain the power of the Holy Spirit any more than your pocket could hold a cup of water. Jail bars are helpless against faithful, Spirit-led Christians. And during the night, a council met up in heaven, and a decision was made to dispatch a special angel to perform a rescue operation for those 12 disciples. And the angel led them directly through the band of soldiers guarding the prison. In fact, you can read more about that in the book Acts of the Apostles, pages 80 to 81. There is something interesting here. The Sadducees, one of the two groups that had ganged up against them, the Sadducees did not believe in angels. So what does God send? An angel. Maybe that's why they were so sad, you see. All 12 disciples were behind bars. My friends, heaven enjoys liberating poor sinners like you, like me, from whatever we want to be unshackled from. Whether it be tobacco, or drugs, or evil habits, anything, from jail bars to candy bars, God will help you to get unshackled. Whatever it is that has gotten a hold of you, He will help you get unshackled. Is something barring you from living the dynamic Christian life that you want to live? Is it your job? Is it your kids? Is it your depression, your addictions, your spouse? Don't look at each other now. Whatever obstacles are preventing you from success, the Holy Spirit will find a way out. When you allow the power of God into your heart, There is no end to what God can do to release you from your shackles. Remember, no one thinks out of the box like our mighty God. He has 1,000 solutions where you cannot think of any. When you catch the wind, you experience the power of the wind. Verse 20. And said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." They had new life. "Go and speak to the people about this life, this new life that you have," the angel tells them. They had new power in their life. And in verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught." It wasn't like, okay, you know, there's a bad storm coming, I can't go out. No, storm or not, I'm going to go where the Holy Spirit calls me to go. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. Why did the angel set them free? Was it so that they could go home? No. He released them for a purpose, to empower them to do God's bidding, preaching again in the same place, the same gospel. He basically told them, don't change a thing. You just keep doing it. Why does God heal you from disease or release you from anything else that might have shackled you? Why does He do it? Not so that you can use your newfound strength to sin, but to do His will. Amen? That's why He heals or helps anybody. He doesn't save you. He doesn't heal you. He doesn't help you so that you can go back and do the same thing again. The same old life again. He wants you to go out and share the good news about Him. He wants you to help finish the work so that we can all go home. And that's what you want as a child of God, to preach with power the new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? At least two of you agree. Amen? If you want a brand new experience each and every day, then you need Jesus Christ infused into your life. John 1 verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus is the light of the Christian. Have you ever seen dull and dead Christians? Why are they so dark and lifeless? It's because the light went out. The disciples were liberated that they might preach the power of God. And they did. The jail bars were still there. The doors were still locked tight. And the guards still stood at the jail door, but the disciples were out preaching the gospel. That's the power of God, my friends. Now come to Acts 5:28. They were questioned by the high priest. "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in His name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." You know, I think that's a lie. They already knew that they were guilty of Jesus' blood. And in Matthew 27, verse 25, you may recall, the people answered, "Let His blood be upon us and our children." And so, let me see if I can get that. All right. Maybe I left that scripture out. There we go. Thank you. You know, the Sanhedrin should have realized that we are not fighting 12 uneducated poor men. We are fighting heaven. And we're going to lose. They didn't realize that at all. And then we have Acts 5, 29 and 30. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree.'" Now that's an amazing statement, isn't it? They didn't like that. They were condemned already. They were right out there preaching the gospel of Jesus again. And then in verse 32, And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Now, who does God give the Holy Spirit to? Obedient Christians. So if you see all of these miracles happening and all of these Spirit-led Christians everywhere that are not obeying the gospel, it must be a different spirit. As a minister told me once, a minister of a different church, he came and he said, "You know what? I want to become a Seventh-day Adventist." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I was a pastor in this church, but I got scared because they were speaking in tongues and so forth on Sunday, but then they went out and lived a worldly life on Monday. And I thought, that cannot be God's Spirit. So I cannot be there anymore. I want to become a Seventh-day Adventist. I've studied about the Sabbath. And I realize this is where I can find the peace that God wants to give me." Well, the Sanhedrin was very upset. And I want you to notice what they decided to do in verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Now, the Greek word for furious means they were torn apart by their anger. They were livid. They wanted murder. You see, the worst possible scenario had happened to the Sanhedrin. These Jesus people were proving to be unstoppable. How are we going to stop them? I guess we're going to have to kill all 12 of these apostles or these disciples. Then maybe that will stop it. Now, that would have been a real possibility, wouldn't it? With all the leaders, probably the early church would have been stopped in its tracks if all the leaders were dead. Satan would have triumphed. And the early church needed help at that moment, and they needed it fast. And you can notice how quickly God sent help from a very unlikely source. One of the Pharisees came to the rescue. His name was Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the president of the seminary. He was a master teacher, a rabbi who was respected by all the people. He was the person who was in charge of all the young Pharisees in training. And Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, was one of his trainees. And it says in Acts 5, verses 34 to 39, "Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while." In other words, if you get them out of sight, maybe we'll have some calm around here. And then he says, "And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What do you intend to do regarding these men? For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census." That's around the time when Jesus was born. "And drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed." And so he's pointing to their recent history and saying, let's learn from our past. Now, that's generally pretty good advice. And then he says, "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan is the work of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Pretty wise. Every community and every church needs a Gamaliel, somebody with a level head, somebody with a lot of wisdom. We could learn from the past, each one of us. Don't forget the past or our church history. We have been challenged to not forget the past, because then we will not repeat mistakes that may have been made over time. All 12 of the disciples were facing death. And God saved them through Gamaliel. God still helps. God has rescued all of us from one time or another. Maybe you were just about to have a head-on collision that would wipe your entire family out, and then God stepped in. Now, I know that I wouldn't have been here today if it weren't for God's intervention, and many of you might be able to say the same. These Jews were the ones whose lives were hanging in the balance. Now, remember what happened in year 70 AD. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and their nation was never the same again. And this is one of the last chances that the Jews had to repent before their probation as a people were over. Soon, Stephen would be stoned and their doom would be sealed. And so they should have known that they were contending with the Holy Spirit and not just with 12 poor men, but they had no clue. No longer was Israel an exclusive target for God's blessing. The old order was over. God was going to give His blessing to everybody, whoever would call upon His name. Now, the Christian church was taking the place of the nation of Israel, the carrier of God's news for mankind. And they should have recognized that it was over. Acts 5 verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. The disciples were hurt. They were hurting bad. Have you ever been flogged? They were allowed to flog them 39 times. The 39. Deuteronomy 25 verse 3. And many people died from those 39 stripes. All 12 of the disciples, as far as I could see here in this passage, were flogged. And they went out there to preach again with their backs bleeding. And were they upset? Well, in verse 41 it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, for the name of Jesus. They were gracious people. They were out and started preaching Jesus again. The Sanhedrin could no more keep the disciples quiet than you and I can keep a dog from barking when the doorbell rings. Every day, and I mentioned this maybe once before, when I drive past a certain home in my neighborhood, it's like clockwork. Two dogs come running up to the fence, along the whole fence, barking all the way, and then stopping just in front of the fence in order not to get hit by the fence. They do it every time. You can't prevent them. That's just the way what a dog does. They're going to bark no matter what you do. Anyway, there is an English poem that tells of a bird that was carried by a powerful wind away from Norway. The bird struggled to get back to the beautiful land of Norway. I had to say that. The wind was stronger than the bird, and it began to carry the bird away from the coast of Norway and into the midst of the storm. And the wind was just simply too strong. And finally the bird just yielded to the wind. And instead of being carried to destruction, it was borne by the wind to the warm shores of England and its green meadows and forests. Yeah, it is greener and it's warmer than Norway certain times of the year. Well, it's pretty sure that the author of this poem was no friend of Norway. But anyway, we need to yield to the wind. We need to let that wind carry us. The disciples yielded to the wind, and it carried them to success for the kingdom of God. The early church got off to a good start, and it says in verse 42 that daily in a temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They were now not the invisible 12. They were the invincible 12. They had caught the wind and nothing could stop them. We find ourselves in the time of the latter rain. Is the wind blowing? I believe it is. Although it does depend on your relationship with Jesus. But the wind is blowing. And if you can catch the wind, you can be carried by the wind to success in God's sight. Don't fight it. Surrender to it. The Bible says, test the spirits. You test the spirits by the word of God. But when God is speaking to your heart, when He's convicting your heart, surrender to it. When God is calling you, surrender to it. Because it is through obedience that the wind will be carrying you to the promised land. And through service in this world as long as it lasts, as long as you last. Do you long to experience the zeal and the joy of the disciples? If you invite the Holy Spirit to fall on you as it fell on them, you will have what they had. We will have what they had. You can catch the wind. My friends, take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way to catch the wind. Take advantage of when the church family comes together to worship, to study, to pray, to memorize Scripture. Take advantage of it to catch the wind. So that one day you would say, but I didn't know. Wait a minute, you had the opportunity. You had the opportunity. It was right there. Listen to that small, still voice. Otherwise you might say, I never heard it. Catch the wind. Go where God leads you. Go with your conviction as it is based on the Word of God. And on the calling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that your word will become center of our attention. That Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in theory, that He will be Lord and Savior in real life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Jesus will be our focus and that we will go where He leads. May we be a people, Father, that go wherever the Lamb leads us. That we may be ready and stay ready for your soon coming. Help each one of us to be a blessing to others this week. Help us to be of service to those in need. Help us to share Jesus in our own way, whether through work, through our life, or through our words, or through inviting them to come to church or come into a Bible study. Help us, Father, to be a blessing that we may have someone to take with us to heaven when that day comes. If anyone here is struggling with addictions or with being shackled in any way or another, I pray, Father, that you will help us to encourage them. And please, Father, strive for their hearts and souls that they may lift their heads up and see that there is hope. And see that there is a way. And see that that way is the better life. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness. And we realize, Father, also that you are a just God. That you will judge those who have caused pain and suffering for others when that day comes. Help us to leave that to you and to go out and lead others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.